fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. It is. There we go. Turn them on. It's Thursday night, 8 p.m., and you're right where you should be, in front of your radio or listening on TuneIn Radio or streaming FMTalk1065.com, because it's Thursday night. It's time for Common Sense Radio, and it's time to sift through the propaganda and the fake news and get to the truth and the heart of the matter. And right here on FM Talk 1065, where we turn up your voice. And as always, we are here every Thursday, crisp and clear, and coming to you across the cybersphere or across the stratosphere, whichever way the radio waves and electrons just emit from here effortlessly, because of the incredible talents of our award-winning engineer. And he keeps those electrons pure. Particularly difficult this week because some of them got confused and thought they had genders. But there was quite a debate about how many there were, but our Commandante, the electrons, said, "You are electrons. You have no gender. There is no debate. We won't go down that road. You will do your job as electrons." And so here we are back on the air, crisp, clear, with sanitized electrons ready for you due to the diligence and perseverance of our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate those kind words.
The stuff you have to put up with.
How long does it take you to come up with these? I mean, I'm amazed. Creativity that
I think
goes
the whole,
into some of these.
Probably five seconds it took him to sit down.
It really
it
is.
It just comes out. Yeah.
I confess, probably only about 2% of the time, maybe 5%, I have an idea coming to the studio what I'm going to say. And like just now tonight, I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And there it just kind of came.
And there it was.
And there it was.
Well,
really dangerous.
Yes.
It's really dangerous.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
it is.
But that's where it came. But thankfully for you, we have adult supervision in the, our dear listener, we have adult supervision in the studio. We have our director of quality assurance, head of the research department.
And fact checker.
We have a fact checker.
That's right.
And she's not Chinese. And she's here. And she's also executive producer, co-host, Gold Star Wife, USS Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here.
Always great to have you in the studio. Have the team all here.
That's right.
And another, fun time on the hour. And it always goes so fast. We have too much fun. Okay, there's lots out there. I mean, we could go on and on. And one of the things I wanted to get out there, because did you hear about the Iranian missile attack on the U.S. military base in Iraq?
Well, I did, but not widespread, wasn't widely publicized.
I heard it came and it went.
Little test.
Do you know when it was?
Little test. It was just a little test of the new administration.
It's interesting.
Little test.
But it's interesting. Do you know when it was?
I'm not sure exactly.
The 15th of February.
Okay.
It was over a week ago. It was 9 days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I only caught wind of it through some defense news things over the weekend.
You know, I think I saw it on MeWe.
You probably saw it,
Your post on MeWe.
That's where you saw it, because I stumbled on it.
I get the real news on MeWe.
I stumbled on this thing and go, yeah, on MeWe. Follow us on MeWe. We have a Common Sense Radio page on MeWe. But so this is, when I find it, it's already like 5 days old. And I go, and you can't. Nobody reported anywhere in the mainstream media that there was a missile attack, Iranian missile attack. Oh, the ones that we're talking about getting back in the Iranian nuclear deal with.
Right.
There was an Iranian missile attack on a U.S. military base. And the report I read said there was one non-U.S. contractor killed. So that means an Iraqi was killed who's working for the government over there.
Right, right.
Now, the one I said that a military serviceman was wounded, didn't specify how. I didn't see that in subsequent report, but so this goes by. I don't hear about it for 5 days. We're at 9 days, and it's still not in the news.
Yeah,
well, it's not.
If you don't follow Common Sense Radio on MeWe, or you got defense news, you didn't know about it. And then now tonight, though, it did pop up. Did you know he's retaliated?
No.
Apparently, it just happened today. He bombed some Iranian-backed militias in Syria.
Huh?
Huh? And so what I thought was, well, wait a minute. Now, that's really interesting because when Trump bombed Syria, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe he's bombing Syria. That's so bad, warmonger, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Is this not amazing? First, we get U.S. troops are attacked. Doesn't even make the news anywhere. Well, I can't say anywhere because I found
it. You did find it.
But that's the point.
Not the widespread mainstream media.
Yeah, I mean, how many people listening right now are like, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, most people don't know. I couldn't find it anywhere in the mainstream media. And then today, it just started popping in Gateway
Pundit.
Well,
just people on Twitter just started talking about it today, too.
I was Gateway Pundit had it first that there had been a retaliation. And coming in here, they still, Breitbart didn't have it on.
So, wow.
Who we kind of trust.
Biden,
because I don't go to Drudge
anymore. 63 executive orders and bombed Syria on his 36th day in office.
36th day in office? 63.
There, we go.
There you go. They're the dictator in chief. Dictator in chief is rolling right along. But now they do. The Pentagon was not too busy because they do have time. They announced a week ago, and I knew this was coming, they are reviewing Trump's decision to put Space Command in Alabama.
Yes. Yeah. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I did
so
too.
We all kind of expect that was coming. Oh, Red State, do you think you're going to keep a major command and a bunch of defense money? Oh, no, 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 no. That's going to a blue state. They already got – they're working that out.
Colorado. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, I will be shocked if it doesn't move to Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's
so
like a
Senator
throwback.
Shelby,
to,
this may be your last act to try to save Space Command for Alabama.
I guess that kind of makes sense. If you put a launch pad on top of
on top of the mountain,
that gets you like
you're
what,
a little
10,000
feet
closer.
Did a little of the work already.
Yeah. Get a little 10 or 15,000 foot run a go.
Yeah.
Going up there. Yeah.
Not sure what that does.
It's just the politics. I wanted
burn
to tie
of the
that.
Fuel.
But since we're all on the military, why is the military still in D.C.? Why is the fence still around
Guard.
The Capitol?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They're going to be there permanently.
Well, that's what I'm starting to hear. They're going to be there through March 4th because that's the traditional inauguration day, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard the fall.
Yeah.
And now I'm hearing people like you just said, I've heard this before, they may be there permanently.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, well.
How many states' National Guards are still there?
That I don't know.
Because I know that DeSantis in Florida said he recalled.
Several have pulled him back.
So, you know, the question is, which states are allowing their National Guard to still
I don't know. I know Florida did. I think Texas pulled theirs back. I want to say half a dozen to a dozen have pulled them back.
Yeah.
It's more than a couple. But still, there's still a fair presence there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, I think there's still more troops
well,
in Washington, D.C. than there
the
is in Iraq.
The fence itself is...
Right.
I mean, it's funny how cozy the left is with walls and fences now.
If it's to protect them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. We can't protect you, the American citizen. It's just like the riots.
Yeah.
As long as they're burning and looting your cities, it's like, you can't have a demonstration here in our city.
Well,
you can in Washington as long as you're at the White House, but don't come over to the Capitol.
Right. Well, now you can't do the White House now either.
Well, now the White House is off limits, too.
Right.
There won't be any more of that Lafayette Park setting up your own no-go zone. What do they call it? What was that zone they called it? In Seattle, they made their own country.
Chad.
It was but they had a something zone they called it. I forgot.
Yeah.
Autonomous zone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there struggling and okay.
Sorry.
What is it?
Yeah.
But I think all of this is part of. So you look at the fence and the troops. There you go. So is it they're just really afraid of us? And
well,
I go. Maybe yes.
A little, yes.
But I think really it's all part of the story,
yes.
of the narrative.
It's a prop.
We want to show, those Trump supporters, they're so evil, they're so wicked, they're so violent. We have to keep this big fence and barbed wire, and we have to keep thousands of troops there to protect the people's house because we never know when they're going to come back.
You can remember the May Day parades in Moscow and Soviet Union.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Where the parade had no floats and no throws and no beads. The parade was all military equipment and rockets and tanks and troops, and they were all marching in time.
Yep.
And it's a display of force, not for your enemies. It's a display
it's a
of
message.
Force for your citizens.
Mm-hmm. So they know how fierce and strong you are. Absolutely.
Right. Do not think you can come up here and do whatever it is you want to do. We have the force.
And we've got this place. And that's what's going on there. This is part of trying to make the narrative, oh, it is so dangerous up here because the Trump supporters are so dangerous. All those white supremacists and domestic terrorists are about to tear this country apart. It's all an incredible lie. Actually, we're over the break. We got to come back. But James in Florida said the corporate media will not let Biden look weak on anything. And somebody else in Florida said this country is not free. It did not fall from the heavens. It was bestowed. And okay, I got to read that when the break, figure out what the heck they're talking about.
Yeah.
But we will be right back with your calls and texts and more on Common Sense Radio at 1065.com. 343-0106.
That's the number you wanted.
The number.
Right.
Not the number.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And we were just talking about keeping the military up there and talking about how bad the domestic terrorists and white supremacists, otherwise known as Trump supporters, are. And that's what all that narrative is. There was an interesting opinion piece in the Washington Post here in the last few days or week. The counterinsurgency campaign against right-wing extremists could backfire.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying, what this guy is saying, look, when he says counterinsurgency campaign, the same way we would operate against an insurgency in Iraq or Afghanistan, using the same tactics.
Uh-huh.
Now, what the guy, the interesting thing why I brought this up is the guy, his point is that if we use those tactics here on the domestic terrorists and white supremacists, it might backfire and precipitate actually more violence, that it may not be the right way to approach them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find fascinating is his thesis has nothing to do with, well, they're not white supremacists or domestic terrorists, they're American citizens.
Right.
And this is just a political disagreement.
Yeah.
No, it's the whole premise is, nope, part of the political spectrum, which means anybody to the right of Bernie now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? If you're to the right of Bernie, you got to go to re-education camp.
Yeah.
You got to be canceled. No Republicans, no conservatives. You know, if you're conservative, and that's what they're getting at with white supremacy and domestic terrorists. Oh, no. What they're trying to do is shame all the Trump supporters.
Like with the cancel culture.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's a big – I mean, I don't know how to be less white, Pete, but I do know how to drink less Coke. I can say that. And what you just said, you're going to cancel this, you're going to cancel you. It's eventually going to be like a football team. If you cancel everybody, but – I mean, what's the one guy going to throw the football to himself?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
there's
everybody.
No way to have a civilized society with this madness.
No, because like, it doesn't make any sense. We're moving backwards. I mean, the Coke thing, they got.
That's
huge.
You
hear about that? They got this. Coke has got this new thing where they're doing, and I guess it's a corporate.
It was a sensitivity
racial
training.
Sensitivity training, and part of it was to be less white.
And they had a chart.
We need you to get out there, and you need to be among the people, and you need to be less white.
And then the chart described how you do that.
Right?
Less assertive, less certain was the most odd one to me. As if What does that mean?
Don't be right.
Don't be correct.
Don't be correct because that's
all
too
of that. But here's something, Pete, you may not know. There was a whistleblower, basically, that revealed all this. Because they always have to go to different sites because Coke denied it. They're like, well, no,
we didn't do that.
Was just the person who was presenting. It was their thing.
Yeah.
And it really, then they had to eat those words. But nonetheless, the whistleblower was not white. Did you hear that?
I did not know that.
Yes. So let me tell you, because it's incredibly offensive to everyone.
Because it's a reverse discrimination. So if you're black, can't be correct and you can't be assertive.
There you go. And you can't be certain. Even certain.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be confused.
Be confused and be incorrect so that you can be more black. Because that's how they think black people are. I mean, that's the racism. That's what they're saying.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
That's what the racism is. But you know, it's resulted in some job losses already.
Really?
The polar bear.
The
polar bear, after years of service to Coca-Cola, was let go because he's all white.
Fine. I'll bet Santa Claus.
Yep. Santa Claus has a white beard, but the polar bear is all white. They're gone.
Yeah.
Nope.
It was definitely a step too far.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how many people... And it's not even necessarily a boycott thing at this point, you know, because I'm one to say I don't boycott everything. And here's why. I think on some terms, capitalism is in some way a uniter. I mean, let's think about like how many times you've been to a restaurant. You may have nothing to do politically, socially with the chef. But you know what? His service is of a value to you, and you come together under that, and everyone walks away happy. The chef goes home with money in his pocket. You go home happy and full. To me, it's a great uniter in a way.
LGBTQ, Biden Democrat, and you don't care because, man, you had a good restaurant.
I'm not one to say boycotts solve all problems. I'm not necessarily against them, but I don't think they ever actually really work. All the time. Let me think about how mad we were at Target for doing the bathroom thing.
Yeah.
But everyone still goes to Target. I mean, like, it didn't work.
Yeah.
It might have made a little dent for a second. I think it's so much bigger than that. I think it's, again, like, the whistleblower wasn't a white guy that called.
Because he probably was insulted.
Insulted. Again, the issue is so much deeper than just the product you're selling. And it really has nothing to do with that. I mean, it's just a soda.
It is.
That's why people buy it.
But these are all I think they're trying to overload us, really. They're trying to provoke us and overload us. Somebody just texted in. This is said, so by being less white, does that mean be more black? More Asian? More
Great
Latino?
Good question.
So should I be like trying to do my best, you know, Mexican accent in here and you would feel that I was less white and more appealing or not more appealing, but maybe more acceptable?
I think you're right, though, when you said it's more to provoke and distract.
I think they're trying to provoke us.
Because now they've also, Hasbro has got rid of, they're saying they're going to get rid of Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. There's no genders now. It's just going to be...
A potato head. But David texted in that he's glad they're going to go that way because he'd rather eat his potatoes than play with them.
Well, I've always... the point I was trying to make, though, potato heads aren't really popular toys.
No.
And haven't been for a long time. But people mine in your generation?
Yeah.
That's a classic, iconic toy. Yeah.
So what are they going to go do?
So to me, this was just to provoke.
No, it is to provoke. It's to jab
you. It's to provoke.
So what are they going to do?
No
go back to all the toy stories and neuter
Mr.
Potato
right
Head?
I just think you're on to... They are trying to poke the bear until
everything they're doing.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of Miss Potato Head. We're going to let guys play with your girls in the bathroom and in the sports. You know, I mean, I think they're doing everything. You know, we're going to open the borders and flood the borders. Everything they're doing, I think they're trying to provoke us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They want to make us. And this goes back to the fence and the military. Because I think what they're really hoping is that there's some right-wing militia that's going to go do something stupid.
Yeah.
That there's some wackos out there that go do something stupid, and they're going to go, like the Reichstag, we told you they were dangerous. We're imposing martial law. We're going to take away, well, maybe not go to martial law, but we're going to take more of your rights away.
Right.
We're going to come. I mean, I've heard some stuff that they're up there, they're so afraid in Capitol that the Democrats are actually getting the phone records and emails of everybody in the building.
Wow.
Because they want to know what's going on. Wow. Because they're so afraid. It's crazy. Mm. Okay, the guy who'd rather eat his potatoes than play with his potatoes, we got David from Mobile Holding. David, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Real quickly on Coca-Cola. I'm not boycotting them, but I can tell you with the amount of money that I'm not spending with them right now on Diet Coke, they will definitely notice a difference.
There
okay,
you go.
There you go.
I agree.
I'm sending them a message. But real quickly, on Iran, not only did nobody hear about the missile attack on the U.S. facility in Iraq, and until the mainstream media picked it up tonight, nobody had heard about the retaliation. But not only that, it came out this week that John Kerry and Biden's Iranian envoy, before the election, went over to Iran and met with the foreign minister and actually worked with the foreign minister of Iran to undermine the Trump administration and undermine his election chance.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Kerry had been shuttling back and forth during the entire Trump administration. I mean, what was that? What is the act that they tried to get one of the guys on? Oh, God, it begins with
L. Collusion.
No,
they tried to impeach President Trump on collusion when they themselves were doing it.
The Logan Act.
Logan Act
says you can't go and freelance American foreign policy unless you are authorized by the president.
Yeah.
And Kerry and all those guys were doing that. You're exactly right. They were doing that, undermining and telling Iran, just wait till we get back and we'll get back and do the Iran nuclear deal. And I mean, it's...
Not
the double standard.
Colluding with a foreign government to undermine the elections and undermine the government, they were committing treason, which is the only crime specifically listed in the Constitution that is impeachable.
And will the media pick that up? No. Will anybody at DOJ or FBI have the nads to pick that up? No. Will anybody in any branch of the federal government of the United States actually recognize an actual treasonous act? No. But you make a fake one about Russia, and we will ride that bad boy for 4 years.
Exactly. Y'all have a good one.
All right, David, thank you for calling. Don't forget, check David out at BamaNewsNow.com. He writes a column there, and... he has some other knucklehead that he posts their columns there. BamaNewsNow.com. We'll be right back with your calls and texts.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. In the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a very special sponsor. Mission First Mortgage, that's right. Mission First Mortgage, they do home financing. If you are out there searching for your dream home or you're moving to another home or a second home, whatever it is, you've got to have your financing locked and loaded. It's got to be ready. You've got to be ready to go because the market's still pretty hot. So if you're not ready to make that offer and lock it in, you could miss the home of your dreams. So what do you need? You need a lender that is mission-oriented, mission-focused. Who's that? Brian Dewberry at Mission First Mortgage. He's a Marine. He's mission-oriented. He's mission-focused, and his mission is to get you financing pre-approved, ready to go, locked and loaded, sight that home in, and take the target out when you're ready to go. Go give them a call. Go to missionfirstmortgageinc.com. That's mission 1 SD Mortgage INC for inc.com. Or just look, call Brian at 251-289-1141. 251-289-1141. Give him a call and let him know you want to be locked and loaded to find that dream home. Mission First Mortgage, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Yes, we face awesome problems, but we can be proud of the red, white, and blue and believe in our mission. In a world racked by hatred, economic crisis, and political tension, America remains mankind's best hope. The eyes of mankind are on us, counting on us to protect the peace, promote new prosperity, and provide for them a better world. And all this we can do if we remember the great gifts of our revolution, that we are one nation under God, believing in liberty and justice for all. One of America's most valiant decorated soldiers, Omar Bradley, once said of freedom, he said, no word was ever spoken that has held out greater hope, demanded greater sacrifice, needed more to be nurtured, blessed more than the giver, damned more its destroyer, or come closer to being God's will on earth. May America ever be its protector. Well, let this be our banner. But to be freedom's protector, to be a force for good, we must above all be strong. And to be strong, we must offer leadership at all levels of government. In our communities, in our families, we must mobilize every asset we have, spiritual, moral, educational, economic, and military, in a crusade for national renewal.
That is wisdom from our 40th president, with remarks at the Kansas State University Alfred M. Landon Lecture Series on Public Issues on the 9th of September, 1982. So he'd just been in about a year or so. And I picked this one because it goes with this week's column. And I picked it because he talks about that despite all of the challenges and bad things that are going on in the world, we will overcome because we're Americans. And because we believe in freedom. And freedom, although it requires the most effort, it will evoke the most effort. It will motivate you to do more than anything else. Freedom, and you will fight for it. And then he calls us out and he says, to do that, we have to do it at every level. Leadership in our homes, in our communities, in our governments, we got to turn it out. Because it's, as he said at the very end, a spiritual, moral, educational, economic, and military crusade for national renewal. And folks, I picked it because that line right there, that's where we're at. We're in that crusade for national renewal, because while President Trump had us on the right path for America First, the America Last folks stole the election. Mm-hmm. And I know that violates the propaganda of the Biden administration and the Democrat media complex, but they stole it.
But in his own words.
In his own words.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
It was almost like just...
You know what's so funny? He said that, about a week before the election?
Yeah.
He was doing an interview and he said that. And then they, everybody came out. Oh, he meant voter get out the vote. Voter reach out. That's what he meant. No, he knew what was in place.
Yeah,
that was a Freudian slip of a senile old man to say.
Yeah, that's exactly what
he forgot. Who he was talking to? He thought maybe he was talking to Democrat donors to go, don't worry.
Yeah,
we've got so much cheating. We got such an inclusive, extensive. Well, voter fraud organization, we can't lose.
Who knows, really? I mean, no one understands how dementia or senility actually... I mean, it could have been it probably just seems like his brain's really jumbled up. And we were just talking off air about there's some House Democrats that want to remove what's always been the president has the authority...
The
sole authority of the nuclear football. And... now these House Democrats are saying, well, this just wouldn't be safe. We don't want this. And they're going to get together something to try to petition
to give it up or share it, right, with Kamala?
It needs to be shared.
It's going
to
be shared.
He can't be the
sole. So they're going to have to, wake up Joe, Kamala, we got Kamala on the line. Joe.
Retaliatory strike by committee.
Right. Retaliatory strike by committee. The missiles are already in the air. Joe, you got to wake up. Oh, we just lost a connection to Kamala. Somebody get Kamala back on the line.
Right. Well, the representative
from
Nancy California.
Available?
Well, that's Nancy? Funny.
It's after happy hour. Nancy's out.
Nancy says
out till morning.
Vesting one person with this authority entails real risk.
It's the way it's
no, it's
said.
It's really risky not to.
No, it's
but
really
again,
risky
if you have a senile old guy, I'll agree with you. But you guys voted for him. You wanted him so bad.
So,
but then again.
Now, all of this goes with the column this week, which is America isn't back. It's backing down. And I go to BamaNewsNow.com and read it. I highly recommend it. I've gotten really great feedback on it since it got posted this morning. And what it is, do you know they had the virtual G7 summit last week?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Biden made his first international debut and made a speech. And in his speech, he unequivocally said, America first is over. There's no more America first. And he said, America is back. And I went through and said, America is not back. He said, America's back because we're going to rejoin. We rejoined the Paris Climate Accord.
Right.
Folks, here's the irony of that. During the Trump administration, the one nation that made more progress in carbon emissions, in reducing carbon emissions, than anybody in the Paris Climate Accord was us.
The United States.
But when we go back, then we have all these cumbersome restrictions and regulations that kill jobs.
Right. And plus, we have to pay.
We pay. Who doesn't have the restrictions?
China.
India. So the Chinese Democrat Party has put us back in the Paris Climate Accord. America isn't back. It's backing down. Same thing with our Iran nuke deal. I mean, you know, just a month ago, there was an intelligence report that said, you know, Iran looks like they're maybe only months away from a nuclear weapon. It's like, duh.
Yeah.
Just like North Korea did to Clinton. Now here we're going to do, you know, we're doing it to Biden. And even though that intelligence and a missile attack on the 15th, he still went to the G7 because it was after the 15th and said, I know they shoot missiles every now and then, but we're going to do that Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah.
Why? Because it keeps them from a nuclear weapon? No.
No.
Because it gives the Europeans a green light to continue to profit off of trading and arming Iran.
Yeah.
He was just kissing their butt. It was to them. Had nothing to do with their security. And then, so we're not back. We're backing down. The same thing with open borders.
Right.
We're backing down. We've created, the cartels are stronger now than ever. Crime is increasing. A human catastrophe. I mean, thousands are flooding the borders. Even Democrats on the border are going, okay, you got to stop.
But Pete, we don't have the orange man making those mean tweets anymore.
So you know what? You're right. It's probably okay. So what?
It's so much better now.
You know what? So what if those poor legal immigrants have to pay thousands of dollars to coyotes? So what if they're tortured? So what if every female under 40 years old is raped on the way to the United States from Central America? So what?
But now
the orange man is not around.
We don't care if you're... Christians and all the rhinos that voted not for Trump, I hope they're happy that the loudmouth, rude man is no longer around.
Well, that's right.
Actually,
well, let's bring him back.
CPAC is underway, and
right. And he will be there Sunday. I know.
I'm having a watch party at my house.
Everybody watch
football's
party.
Football's over.
Football's over. We got
new thing now.
So, and actually, since you segued into that, we got segue into that.
Yeah.
So he's at CPAC now. So it appears he believes he can reform the Republican Party because he is plotting war against the GOP establishment. Because, you know, they've been floating these ideas. Oh, Trump is gone. Nikki Haley came out. We shouldn't have followed him anyway. And a bunch of different talking heads. Oh, no, the Republican Party needs to shed itself of Trump and move in a different direction. My question is, do you think the Republican Party can survive without Trump? Anybody?
That's what I always wonder about, like Nikki Haley and all that. I'm like, who do you really think is on your team? Unless they just really know everything's going to the one party system and they still just want to
wonder. So they're still trying to ride the fence enough.
I said it a long time ago, back when nobody gave Trump a chance, and I'll say it again, and it's true as true today as it was when I said it initially. You underestimate Trump at your own peril.
Yes.
Folks, I don't know what the future holds for the president. I don't know what he'll decide to do or not decide to do, but I'll tell you what, you underestimate him at your own peril.
Yes.
You really do, and it's been proven time and time again.
And actually, I would think this long period of quietness should scare them to death. And it is. That's why the fence is still there.
Of course.
That's why they're still doing all the crazy things.
Who knows now, what that crazy to, man might
I
do.
I needed to get this in because really key to all of this, because he's gearing up for 2022, is we have to have election integrity restored.
Absolutely.
Or it doesn't matter. But I want to tell you, there are Republican legislatures around the country working on this, because this week the Georgia Senate passed a bill requiring photo ID for all absentee voting. And I think they're going to they're trying to get rid of mail-in voting. So look, we'll be right back with your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
With your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Yeah, we've been going through all sorts of different topics through there. We've got to get to Biden's crazy cabinet before the night's out. But look, Trump's going to be at CPAC on 2:30 on Sunday. He is making his way back. He's gearing up for 2022. So hopefully we'll have some election integrity restored in some of these different states. But I think the backlash is building, because that goes back to the provoking.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're even making some Democrats mad. But hey, before he's been holding patiently, let's go to LD the Mad Trucker.
Two quick things. Number one, the reason why they're taking the button away from Biden, that has nothing to do with his senile Alzheimer's patient view on life. They're going to let Iran drop a bomb on Israel. And if they're in committee has control of the button, you cannot remove the president. You can't say it was his fault because he didn't respond. That's what I think is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Number two, every white American who is a kind of a slacker, and every black American who just wants to, you know, work 8 hours a day, no more, the Guatemalans are coming to take your place, baby. Because have you ever went to a job site where Mexicans were doing a roof?
Oh, I have.
My God, they work hard.
They're done.
The women pick up the nails. The men stay on that roof 14 hours. They're going to put white and black America, who doesn't want to work real hard, they're going to put y'all right out of a job.
Oh, no, they will work. I've seen Mexican roofing crews, and there's not a doubt. There he goes.
Down the road. Thank
no,
you,
I've seen them. They work. They don't get off the roof.
No,
they work all day.
It.
I mean, I used to have a construction company years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They would complain when we didn't work on Sunday.
Right.
They wanted to work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, look, we work 6 days. We're not working tomorrow.
Right.
This was right after Katrina, so we did work 7 days for a while. But they complained.
Right.
And they worked so hard.
Well, I saw them in my neighborhood after Hurricane Ivan, and everybody needed a new roof. Fortunately, I didn't. I don't know how I escaped, but knocked the wood. I was okay on that one. But all around me. And these crews, you know, with Hispanic or Mexican, I mean, they were up there all day long. I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about it taking a crew two or three days to put a roof on. I mean, it was done.
They get after it. They work hard.
He's absolutely right about that.
Okay. The other thing they're provoking us with, is it just me? But Biden's cabinet picks, okay, they're not only crazy, they're weak. I mean, most of these are no-name people, but they're weak. They're very, very weak people. Mm-hmm. I mean, character-wise, intellectually, experience-wise, they're extremely weak. The guy Becerra, I think is his name, from California, who I think is a human health services. He can't come up with any restrictions on abortion. None.
Nor transgender, he calls it trans medicine. All he can say is it's a very nuanced type of medicine.
Yeah.
And poor Rand Paul. It was like he said it like five times. I think Rand Paul kept asking him today same question, and he just said that.
Let's transition. Becerra is the secretary guy, but he's all about abortion. I mean, because he comes from California where they, you know, I mean, apparently he goes to the Governor Northam school of, well, if they make it out, we still have 30 minutes to kill them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was confused.
Becerra is
this one is.
He's the one for the actual secretary. And then you're talking about Levine.
The health.
The ugly dude who thinks an ugly dude with a perm and lipstick says, I'm a girl.
Well,
I mean, come on, man.
No.
But you know what? If you're a grown adult, okay, fine, whatever.
No, if he wants to do that.
But the thing about Rand Paul today was questioning him about what about a 3-year-old? What about a 5-year-old? What about anyone who's a minor?
He wouldn't answer.
And he wouldn't answer. He refused.
I mean,
and he asked him specifically about genital mutilation, amputations, hormone therapy, by the way, which have not been fully tested.
Tested.
And likely leaves it's irreversible type of things.
That you will do to a child who cannot make a decision.
You can't go get a tattoo when you're 14 without parental consent. And all
but
this.
You can go down there and get whatever blockers for your puberty blockers.
Yes. And all this person would say was the same thing. It's a nuanced medicine. It's a nuanced. Like, that's not. No, it's not. It is not.
And, no, this is child abuse. This is absolute child abuse to think that any child under 18, anyone who is not an adult, can make any kind of decision that, yeah, I want to change my gender. I want to take very dangerous drugs to block my hormones. That who knows what it will do to my development. I will cut my breasts off. I will cut my wanker off. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you come up with a lot of stupid ideas between 3 years old and 18 years old. And you want to live with that?
And honestly, there's tons of people who have said, I did have that idea. I was told by a medical doctor this was an okay thing to do. Now I'm 23 years old and I am so regretful. And no one stopped me. And the medical community promoted it.
It's a scientific fact that your frontal lobe is not completely developed until you're 25 or older,
right?
Which means that you have difficulty making the correct decisions, which is why teenagers get into trouble, make the wrong decisions all the time, and get into trouble.
Right.
So how are you expected to make a life-changing decision?
Exactly.
Prior to your frontal lobes being fully developed where you can take in all of the information and make a rational decision.
That will affect your entire life. That's irreversible.
I know. This is insanity. We are down the rabbit hole, folks.
This is the,
you know,
to me,
Queen of Hearts is just around the corner, and the Mad Hatter is right behind us.
No, and all of this goes to making the falsehood truth.
Absolutely.
Reality, fantasy. Fantasy, reality. They're just turning everything on its head. We're going to make you accept things it's bit by bit. It's like 1984.
Pick up a copy of George Orwell's 1984 while you still can, because ultimately that's probably going to be one of the books that you won't be able to find anymore.
Right.
Which because we can talk about that,
it's
too.
It's the truth.
Because
the truth
is
in that book.
If you will accept 2 + 2 = 5, you will eventually accept that boys and girls are not different. You will accept that man will change the climate, and that Democrats don't cheat and didn't steal the election.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's piece by piece. We're going to make you accept one falsehood after the other,
and we'll call you bad names and shame you until you feel better about it.
I'm not smart enough to be shamed, and I don't care if you call me bad names.
Right.
So
it doesn't work on all of us, unfortunately.
There's all those things, and we don't even have time to get into the Equality Act that they're trying, which will maybe get through the House, probably won't get through the Senate. The Equality Act, it sounds really good, make everybody equal. What it is it erases religious freedom.
Look, here's the thing. People are not equal. And don't, before you pick up a rock to throw at me, opportunities are equal, but people are not. Individuals are not equal. People have different talents, different skills, different
personalities. Some are taller, some are shorter.
People are not. People are different.
Some are smarter, some are not.
Opportunities should be equal. But people are not.
Right. Under the law, you're equal. But this wing is really against the LGBTQ. It's against the Christians.
Yes.
Homosexuality a sin, or this transgenderism a sin, then you're out. I have so many texts and calls. I'm so sorry. We were trying to get to all those things. Folks, there's so much more. Please follow us on MeWe and Parler, and come back every week and get the podcast. We'll post it tomorrow. Honey, it's time to come home.